So I never knew how queer I was till I was nearly 40 with two preschoolers and married to a man. And not that I thought I was straight exactly, or cis, or normal even, but the first time I met my now ex-husband, he opened with the line, "I'm probably gay." And I was like, "Oh, great, me too." Yeah. Why I thought that that common ground would be the basis for a long and lasting union is a story for another night. But it turns out, nah. Who knew? Everybody knew. And it wasn't one of those, you know, like, stay friends and kind of ease out of it kind of breakups. It was bloody and awful, and one of those that thins the herd of your friends and family and turns you upside down and makes you question everything. But soon I had a new partner, and she loved me, whoever I turned out to be, and she encouraged me to explore that question and figure out who that might be. And I started to wonder whether that probably gay maybe didn't totally stand up to scrutiny, or maybe that wasn't all that was going on. So I bought a penis, as you do. Not like a big, flashy one or anything. You know, just a little polite one. The kind you wear in pants, you know, sort of soft, sort of just, they come with their own balls. They're nice. And that felt surprisingly and deeply right some of the time. And then I hit upon a boy name, which also felt deeply right some of the time. And you know, that's sort of between us, and she calls me that some of the time. But all those things started sort of coming together. And then I researched on the internet and found a support group. Meets once a month over at the GLCCB, I recommend it. It's a super nice group of people. And I went a couple times. And that was very illuminating. It was a sweet group of folks who were super frank about their experiences taking testosterone, experiences with top surgery, contemplating bottom surgery, just really helpful. And it was particularly helpful to me because I left those meetings feeling like, I'm so happy for you, and none of that is for me. I don't feel like that speaks to me exactly. But then life had other plans. And this past summer, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Stage 2, you know, the kind where they're like, okay, you got to get your breasts off now. And when that happens, they... you know, they're like, okay, we got a week, or like, chop, chop. But the one thing you do in that time, one thing you do in that time is they send you to meet with a plastic surgeon, and they say, okay, there are a bunch of options, but they basically boil down to two. Either we'll cut you here, we'll kind of cut you under your breasts, like in little half moon shapes, and we'll kind of scoop your breasts out, like melons, really. And then fill them back up with something, either your own like belly fat or some artificial stuff or whatever. Your other option is that we'll cut you kind of diagonally like this, you know, and scoop everything out and leave kind of nothing. And they showed me some pictures of that, and oh God, that was super brutal. It did not speak to me either. And people, you know, but I was like, you know, so we're at Hopkins now, and I said, well, wait, isn't there a third option? I mean, I feel like I've heard about all these folks having top surgery upstairs from here. And they were like, oh, what? No one's ever asked us that before. So they said, yeah, you should go talk to this rock star surgeon who's upstairs, Dr. O'Brien Kuhn. He's amazing. And so I sort of moved heaven and earth and was able to get an appointment to go see him, but I was nervous. And I had a lot of questions. A lot of questions that I felt like maybe that a doctor wouldn't be the first person to ask. Like, for example, I had these amazing nipples. They were really great nipples, but they were huge. You know, like, they wouldn't fit on a guy sort of, well, can you save your, like, should you try to save your nipples? Should I donate my nipples? Would anybody? There was so much wisdom that I lacked. So I went back to the support group, and I got there late, and it was a tiny group that night. It was the four guys, and I just laid it all out, and like I don't even know if I quite belong here, and I don't know where I am in terms of gender, but like this thing is happening, and it's coming down the road this week, and what do you think? And they were so kind. And approached the whole question of, like, what will this altered body mean in terms of gender and socially and stuff with such nuance. And, you know, but then there was this beautiful moment at a certain point in the evening. After other people had shared their stories, too, they sort of came back to mine. And one of them said, you know, I've still been thinking about what you were asking, and I wonder, like, do you wanna see mine? Do you wanna see what I look like after my surgery? And I was like, oh God, sure. And so he took off his shirt and walked me and all of us through a sort of map of the scars on his body. And you know, and here's where I have sensation, and here's where I can't quite feel my nipples still. It's been a year and a half. I can't quite, there's a spot here where they took the drains out, but otherwise, you know, it's like, it's really, I feel like myself. And it was so moving and so intimate in this way that I just never would have expected from a stranger. And then the next guy around the circle said, do you want to see mine? And he took off his shirt, and he had another story, and it sort of one after another, people started going around it and opening themselves up in this most just generous and intimate way. I've gone back to that moment so many times since then. The months since then have been rough. I gotta tell you, there's been surgery and radiation and all kinds of bad shit has come down the line, but the beauty of that moment really stays with me. And it has helped in moments. Real talk, I am not a person who has ever loved my body. You know, even after my breasts are totally chopped clean off and I'm like basically healthy and I get home and I think that maybe I'll be on some more like enlightened plane about body image and everything, the thing that is borne home to me mostly is that when you lose your breasts, you just have a clear sight line to your muffin top. Why? Why? But there's this other moment that I think of too. And that is this moment that happened in the hospital after that rock star surgeon turned out to be like a real kind of hero to me. And he gave up this conference he was supposed to go to, or delayed going to this conference to do my surgery and close it up right, and was like really wonderful, but that night, after everything was said and done, when I managed to get out of bed for the first time and, you know, stagger into, like, the awkward hospital bathroom and the awkward hospital gown and sort of untie that gown for the first time and take a look at myself, my partner captured a picture of it. And if you look with a critical eye at this picture, I mean, I look terrible, right? Like a total mess, you know, like those white disposable underpants. That's happening. And there's like six tubes coming out of me, and some of them end in these bulbs of unspeakable fluid, and then other things end in these like pulsing suction dressings, and it just looks bad. But there is this look, if you look at my face, this look of what I felt then and what I continue to feel about that decision and this part of this body and new life. This look of real peace and also a little bit of damn. Thank you.